Meeting please come to order. We have a quorum. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Supervisor Kanabe, would you lead us?
Absolutely.
First item on the agenda is a public meeting on proposed amendment to the Measure R ordinance. Does that require a staff report, or can we go simply straight to the public hearing?
We do have a staff report we'd be pleased to give.
Okay, that'd be great.
We've been working very hard on this for the past couple of months. Doug Failing has been intensely involved in Martha Wellborn. Cosette and Linda Bybee here to make a very brief presentation so that then you might consider the recommendations.
Thank you. I'm good, thank you.
Good morning, Linda Bybee, Interim Chief Communications Officer. Thank you for the opportunity to make this presentation this morning. I want to introduce Cosette Stark, who has been leading the effort in coordinating all of the aspects of this measure going forward, and Doug Failing, who is executive in charge of all highway, and he has served as our internal task force. Cosette will begin the presentation.
Good morning. Before you for approval is the amendment to the Measure R ordinance. This is based on the motion that was proposed by Director Fasana, and the, of course, there will be a public meeting regarding that. In order to, if the board chooses to approve that amendment, the board will also need to approve an amendment to the Measure R extension ordinance as well as the resolution. In the ordinance, there's a new section, I think it's section 16, which drops in that new language. And also the resolution is the same resolution that was approved by the board on at the June board meeting, and that has also been revised to incorporate the amendment.
The item before you, item one, is just a public hearing to hear public comments on this, and then we'll go into more detail when item two is heard.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from members of the board? Hearing none, we'll start public hearing with Dr. Tom Williams, to be followed by Stan Barankowitz.
Good morning. Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, Land Use Chairperson. We have a basic problem. This is vice versa. Where does the money go, and who's going to be in charge of it? We have suffered for over 30 years in El Sereno from Caltrans properties and their holdings and their maintenance and lack of property tax revenue generation. We don't know what happens. They never come to our neighborhood councils. They never try to help us understand what they're doing. Now they want to take the money and run with it. Hey, we're all for wise use of money. We want the money used wisely, both the properties and the project. However, we cannot support and we oppose the existing amendments as it is offered. It should only be from highways to transit, not vice versa. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Barankowitz.
I am Stan Barankowitz, commenting on behalf of the Metro Gold Line Foothill Extension Construction Authority. I have submitted an updated white paper to this board explaining why Metro's amended expenditure plan does not measure up to its statutory requirements is inconsistent with the statutes and is inconsistent with Metro's 2009 long-range transportation plan, the LRTP, and fails to reflect the Measure R extension funds. First, the expenditure plan does not prioritize the projects and programs required by Public Utilities Code Section 130350.5B3. Second, the expenditure plan does not include each project's total estimated cost required by Section 130350.5F and AB 1446's Section 130350.6E. Third, the expenditure plan does not include each project's expected completion date required by the same statutes. Measure R extension funds are not programmed for the statutory listed projects. Fifth, the expenditure plan does not first program the new source of funds to the Foothill Extension to Claremont or the Crenshaw LAX corridor. And sixth, the expenditure plan does not reflect the increased debt service costs for accelerating the projects. Thank you.
Thank you. And before I take other public input, let me recognize Pam O'Connor has called in and is on the phone. Pam, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Next person to speak, Susan Wogerman, is that correct? Good. To be followed by John Walsh.
Thank you. I'm here informally representing the San Rafael neighborhood. And I personally am opposed to any transfer of funds for highway use before other alternatives are investigated. We feel that highways are not the answer, that mass transit and rail should be explored before more money is put into building highways through our neighborhoods, and that this is not a solution, and that money should be used for mass transit, rail, and not for building more highways without further exploration of other options. Thank you.
Thank you. John Walsh, to be followed by Clint Simmons. I'm sorry.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I speak to every taxpayer in the county of Los Angeles. This is a $90 billion tax that doesn't start till the year 2039. When it ends in the year 2069, this tax is not on your children, taxpayers. It's not on your grandchildren, taxpayers. It's on your great-grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. There has never been a $90 billion tax tag faced by these children. And I want you to know, in the year 2069, the mayor of the city of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, will be 116 years old. Sasha and Malia, on 2069, the president's children will be in their mid-80s. We are handing them $90 billion plus the $45 billion in Prop R that's been passed. We are handing them a $135 billion blank check, unparalleled in the history of the world.
Mr. Walsh, lower your voice just a little bit. You're going to have a heart attack.
Did you say I should be? You can't hear me? Is that what
I
you said?
I can hear you, yes.
HollywoodHighlands.org. I am guilty of crimes of volume. Vote no on Prop R.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Clint Simmons, to be followed by Damian Goodman.
Yes, so my name is Clint Simmons. I'm with the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. Sure, it sounds good, but I have no faith in this thing providing any type of support for our community. We have been lied to in the past and continue to be lied to at the present time. So to ask me and people who are in my neighborhood to vote for extending this, as John just said earlier, this tax will go on our great-great-grandkids. And why should the people vote for something when they have no concept as to how the money is going to be spent? I can see within the next 10 or 15 years, this same board here starts, I'm going to take something from John and put it in Jan and be just moving money all around with the highway and transit fund in order to satisfy some political deal that will be made. My recommendation is to the people, don't be caught up in this nonsense about we need to expend our taxes. Vote no on extending Proposition R. Let this board show us how to use the original R first. Then you can come back and get some more.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons, for giving me
a chance.
In Goodman, to be followed by Ellis Ackless.
Damian Goodman, representing the Crenshaw Subway Coalition, and we spent the last 5 days discussing the Fasan Amendment and extensively. Can we agree that the principle is a good one, and we should commend Director Fasan and his staff for this forward-looking amendment? But the root of the problem here is the successful implementation of this policy is predicated on another principle, that of trust. And the question is, can we trust you? Can we trust this Metro Board to do the right thing? Not when you cut bus service in the name of improving bus service, not when you ignore the calls and requests from communities throughout this county, from Beverly Hills to the Foothill communities, to the Crenshaw Corridor, the community I represent. You've given the Crenshaw community nothing, nothing to indicate that you can be trusted. And so why would we give you this power to change, absent a change in regime, a change in attitude, absent some specific overture to the Crenshaw community that when the life of the last African-American business corridor is on the line, that you actually care?
Thank you, Mr. Goodman. Ellis Ackless, to be followed by Sun Yong Yang.
Hello, my name is Ellis Ackless. I'm with the Bus Riders Union. First, I oppose the Measure R extension because it means expanding Metro, expanding highways. All it does is make more people drive than take the bus. Also, it's causing more asthma and it's causing more deadly toxins in the inner city communities, the environmental communities. It doesn't help public transit at all. It only helps the seaport industry. People need clean air, and causing all truck lane isn't helping with public transit. Thank you.
Thank you. Sun Yong Yang, to be followed by Eric Roman.
I urge this board and also the public to say no to the Measure R extension, and in particular with the Fasana motion as well, because this, just to be clear, this Measure R extension is also about accelerating highway, and many, eight of the projects that are being proposed is all about increasing roadway capacity, and there is nothing environmental or public transit friendly about that. Another thing is that this agency has proven in the last 4 years that you have already a bad civil rights record. In the last 4 years, if you haven't proven that you can't protect bus service and keep fares low, why should the public extend another 30 years of Measure R extension when you have failed your basic riders that you can't even provide a good enough system for them while violating the civil rights of 500,000 Black and Latino bus riders?
Thank you. Eric Roman, to be followed by Charles J. Fisher.
Good morning, board members. Eric Roman, also from the Bus Riders Union. We've told you repeatedly about our concerns about your rail expansion plan and its implications for civil rights, but let's just talk about this plan and the proposed extension on the grounds of transit alone. The problem with the Fasana Amendment is the problem with the plan in the first place, which is that highway projects and rail projects are doled out on the basis of political favoritism rather than objective metrics, right? If you look at 20 years past, right, some of you may remember just about a year ago, or was it 2 years ago, you celebrated 20 years of LA's LA's rail system, right? And some of the leading transit experts in the county noted that transit ridership has actually gone down 20 years. And if you look at the projects that you plan on building, and the bus service cuts that will be required to build those projects, you're probably looking at even fewer people as a percentage of the whole population using transit, right? We're going in the wrong direction with
this.
We urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. Charles J. Fisher, to be followed by Ron Miller.
Good morning, Charles J. Fisher. I'm here representing the Highland Park Heritage Trust. We've recently become aware of the proposed swath or highway for the 710 extension that would cut through our community of Garbanzo, as well as the San Rafael community of Pasadena. Obviously, anything that would transfer money away from this project and could be put into extending the Gold Line or other uses that are important, we could support. But the idea of maybe money being put into this project, we obviously are opposed to. We have fought very hard to get the Garbanzo community put back on the map after a number of years since World War II when it was forgotten. We fought to get a historic district put in place in Garbanzo. There are many historic resources that would be completely destroyed if this route goes through. I realize that isn't the item we're discussing today, but it is because funding is a key issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Miller.
Good morning, directors. I'm Ron Miller with the L.A. Orange County Building Trades. I come to you on behalf of Robbie Hunter and 140,000 craftsmen and women that live and work in L.A. and Orange County. We want to urge you to put this amendment into the Measure R ordinance, and let's get this thing on the ballot and let the people vote. This is going to bring good-paying jobs to the construction industry, which has been decimated over the last two or three years. And we all know that construction is the leading indicator coming out of these economic downturns in past history. So let's get it on the ballot and let's let the people vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought you guys didn't call my name.
I have a card for you. I don't know what your name is.
It's Renato Lira. I'm against the Measure R. I want to make it really clear with the Measure R. I work in Washington, D.C. The Measure R, when Antonio Revigosa was out there supporting that to bring more money into California, we focus for the transit only, to upgrade your transit, upgrade your buses or your rail lines, not for the freeways. You know, this is, you guys are making it obvious to bring more money into the freeways when it's taking so long to build them. You guys are lagging it with money because this is handled by political here in the LA County with the arena. You guys are scratching someone else back. The money is flowing different directions. As Antonio Revigosa, we made an agreement in Washington, D.C., this money would use only for transit and to fix the transit going on in the San Fernando Valley.
Thank you very much.
You know?
Sir, I say to you this time we made an exception. In the future, if you don't have a card, we won't.
Well,
we won't.
Put it in there. I realize because they know that I work for Washington, D.C., you guys can keep it on.
Well, in any case, we need a card in the future. Okay, that concludes the public hearing. Item two. Yes, sir.
Are you going to take these one at a time, 2A, B, C, and D, et cetera?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, I might as well just bring it in now and make it part of the discussion. As members may recall, the last board meeting, I raised some concerns about the punctuation and grammar of the ballot title and summary. And we asked, that didn't go anywhere that day because we were in a rush and what have you. I asked the county council or the board's council to take a look at the not at the language, but at the punctuation. We had a bunch of slashes and dashes that just didn't make any sense to anybody who reads English. And this is the language that I am proposing, or the changes that I'm proposing today are all outlined in the motion. If my staff can pass out the motion, if they haven't already, the strikeouts of the words that are the words that are struck out are identified. The words that are replaced are identified, and you'll see that there is no substantive. I don't know what's wrong with this microphone. There's no substantive change whatsoever in this measure. And Charles, I would ask you to confirm or dispute that. You've looked this over over the past few days.
That is correct. You know, I reviewed the language. There is no substantive change.
So I would move this at this time. It was our understanding originally that this could be done through the county council administratively. It can't, and it probably shouldn't be, because we voted on the language in the first instance. We should vote on it a second time if we're going to change it, and that's why it's here today. But it's here for everyone to look at. There are two on the motion. They have the strikeout version and the new version without the strikeouts. So you see what it will look like on the ballot without the strikeouts. I think everyone will understand that this is non-substantive. It only makes it look like English.
Go ahead.
I'll second it. I also have a friendly amendment just to add to that also, that that we're requesting of the registrar the letter J on the ballot. We've reserved both R and J, but we wanted to add to this that we request letter J only. As a friendly amendment, if that's all right.
That's fine. Accept it.
All right, and I'm going to ask a question of Charles. So is it proper to vote on this first and then use this as the motion that would be under item A?
Yes.
To change the wording. So what we would do at this point is we have a motion and a second to accept the change in language, cleanup language, if you will, on the motion.
Are these separate amendments, or, I mean, do they both require two-thirds, or does this one just require a majority?
This is just cleanup language, I believe.
This is just to clean up the ballot title and summary, which we voted on last time. It's a majority vote.
Keep it separate, so you just need a majority?
It should be separate.
I think so, yeah. So are there any objections?
Do you need to do a roll call to include me?
Thank you. Good idea. Gloria?
Yes, I'm not sure why you're doing or what you're doing, but... it makes me suspicious.
Is her mic on?
You know, there's plenty of time to edit this thing. And I just, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it and I'm trying to figure out if a comma means something different than it's supposed to mean. But I'm really suspicious. I don't know why you didn't edit it in the beginning. You've been intensely involved from the very beginning on this. Well, then what happened?
Actually... this won't help my cause, but you actually shut me down, if you recall. You didn't want to discuss it.
Well, then I'm shutting you down again.
All right.
You know, because one of the things we agreed to is that we weren't going to change this.
This is not a substantive change.
Well, I don't care. In your opinion, it's not substantive, and you might get your lawyer to tell you that. But I'm just troubled constantly with these editing kinds of things. It's some cavalier attitude. You could have done it at the very beginning. You could have made a cause. I lose pretty regularly around here. I stand by myself on this stuff. So it was up to you to move forward or not. I don't know what this is about. And I don't know why we're being presented on the last moment, on the last day, claiming it to be only editing.
Any other?
Nope.
Ms. Hanna?
You know, it may have benefited of us all to have seen this in advance, but I've looked at it. It does look to mean editing. It does look to read more clearly, so I will support it for that purpose, and I certainly looked at it for other meanings as well. In this case, it seems to be clear what it does and does seem to read better, so I will support it.
Any other comments?
And Du Bois.
Director Knobby?
Yeah, you have a situation here while it does read clearer, but I mean, for us to be able to put in the ballot title that we're keeping senior and student disabled fares low, when every recommendation we have is to raise them, you know, seems somewhat not right to do. I mean, I understand trying to get the letter J instead of the letter R and what you're going to do with that and, you know, all those kinds of things. But
any other comments?
I don't trust anyone on this board, but but I do have a lot of love for certain directors. And I'm as suspect as anyone else to any changes made at this point, and I've gone through this and looked at it and, you know, put my Machiavellian book in front of me, The Prince, and seeing what possible nefarious purpose could there be in any of these purely, what I see, grammatical and syntax modifications. I don't see anything. I think there's a lot of other things that we can fight about on this board, and we do, but I don't think this little modification to the language is something we should spend much time arguing.
Are there any other comments? Are you ready to vote? We need a voice vote, please, because we have Director O'Connor on the phone. So would you please call the roll?
To A or just the amendment?
Yes.
Roll call, right?
That's, yes, that's what I said. We're voting on the motion to clean up the ballot language.
Yaroslavsky
yes.
Amendment.
Language. The language, just the language.
With the letter J.
And J. And J.
Director Najarian?
Yes.
Director Fasana?
Yes.
Director Wizar?
Yes.
Director Yaroslavsky?
Yes.
Director O'Connor? Director O'Connor?
You're not talking the
mic. Hello?
Yes. Director O'Connor, on the amendment?
It's time to vote, Pam.
Okay, yeah, it dropped out. I couldn't hear my name. Yes.
Director Katz?
Yes.
Director Du Bois?
Yes.
Director Kanabi?
No.
Director Molina?
No.
Director Fleming?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. And we'll go to item A.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a staff report.
Go ahead and finish your last little piece.
Go ahead.
Okay. On this item, this is just for approval of the motion that had been proposed by Director Fasana to amend the Measure R ordinance to allow fund transfers between the transit and highway capital subfunds within a subregion with a two-thirds vote of the board.
Slash means something.
And in order to enact this, because when you do an ordinance amendment, you need to get it approved by the electorate. We are also requesting that the board approve an amendment to the Measure R extension ordinance as well as the resolution to incorporate it.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, what is the item that we're actually on now? I missed the beginning of your...
It's 2A.
Yeah, 2A. 2A.
Okay.
I'm going to turn this over to the...
Which is the actual motion?
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And then item B and C also would need to be approved in order to put it before the voters.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, at some point I would just ask that we bifurcate this. To be consistent with my previous votes, I would like to bifurcate and just vote on 2A separate from 2B, C, and D. Be a request.
Chairman?
Yes?
On item 2D, which is the information program, I'd like to move that the mail brochure portion of this be removed. So that not be part of the information program.
Second. Okay.
And we were going to present more information on that piece. We figured you wanted to take the first three items first.
That's fine. We'll
do it how you want, sir.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion now. Just get it on the table. So.
Okay,
we'll call up Sylvia Plummer. Dr. Williams.
Good
Measure R, wasting hard-earned taxpayers' money and then asking for more. Stop spending public funds foolishly. Caltrans purchased homes in Pasadena in the 60s in order to connect the 710 to the 210. Then Caltrans built the 210 interchange that would connect to the 710, and there it sits, along with the homes that were purchased. Now, Metro has plans to build another interchange on the 134 freeway, less than half a mile away from the first 210 interchange, and it's going to connect to the 710. The plans are called H2 and F5. How ridiculous is that? Two interchanges within half a mile of each other, both built to connect to the 710. Is this how you would spend your own money? We know it's all about the truck traffic from the LA Harbor. I have 2 minutes.
No, yeah, 1 minute.
John Plummer.
Okay. You're taking two. Okay. Sorry.
We know it's all about the truck traffic from the LA Harbor. Why don't you fix the existing freeways to handle the truck traffic? Where are the freight to rail alternatives? I want to know, do you have any say in the process? I want you to know that I say no to the 710. And I want you to know that I belong to a coalition of taxpayers that will campaign against Measure R.
Williams. After Mr. Williams will be Dan Jones, and then Stan Branker, Viritz, Metro Gold Line, Foothill Extension Construction Authority. Yes.
Good morning. Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council in El Sereno. We've been subject to Measure R projects for 40 years, but the issue now is that with I-710 going to have meetings this week, SR-710 going to have meetings, we're going to have a lot of meetings before Measure R votes. We're against any inclusion of highway projects, the SR-710, the I-710, and the High Desert Corridor, as they have been proposed to be bundled, whatever that means, for Measure R. We fully support getting all of the commuter traffic, all of the freight traffic on rail at the port, wherever it needs to be done. We are supportive of bus rapid transit. We support a lot of things that move a lot of people without new concrete. So Measure R transit, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, and then Stan will follow Mr. Jones, and then Reiner Nielsen.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, members of the board. My name is Don Justin Jones. I'm an attorney. I grew up in Los Angeles. I'm a homeboy. I went to Hobart Elementary, Union Avenue, Berendo Junior High School, Reseda High School, Pierce College, Loyola University School of Law. I'm troubled about one thing. I know how to count the votes. I know where the extension is going to go. But I'm troubled about the dialogue, the debate that postulates economy versus the environment. That's an old argument here that was first propounded by Eli Broad when he said we need jobs, which that argument is what's led to the sprawl that surrounds the city. I think that once we get the extension forward, we must be careful not to loosen the environmental threads that bind the community, but perhaps use them to weave a new basket, to look at new models. Look at the people behind you. These students are our future. These are the students, and I commend the board for having these students come here from the intern program at Cal State LA. If we want to build a city for the future, we need to realize that we are a Pacific city and that the future of Los Angeles looks like the folks in this audience here. We cannot lose the environmental values that we seek here in Southern California and crucify our people on the false premise of jobs. Thank you so much.
Stan Barankowitz commenting on behalf of the Metro Gold Line Foothill Extension Construction Authority.
First, AB 1446 requires that the amended expenditure plan comply with the statutory provisions before its submission to the voters. This has not occurred, as I've outlined previously in this meeting, as well in the letters that have been submitted on behalf of the authority. Second, the expenditure plan right now is missing from the amended ordinance in the agenda packet, and it should have been there. Also, not all listed projects are accelerated. Only 7 projects are accelerated at the expense of fully funding other projects, such as the Foothill Extension to Claremont. That is in direct violation of Public Utilities Code Section 130350.6C. Thank you.
Good morning, Reiner Nielsen. I'm a resident of the San Rafael area, and in regards to your Measure R, I want to save you $780 million. Take the H2 and F5 plans off the table. They're going through a beautiful residential neighborhood that does not have traffic problems. There's no issues up there to be solved, and add that as an alternative to connect the 710 to the 210, I think you're working on flawed assumptions. It's been fought through South Pasadena for 50 years. Now you're trying to go through another residential area. I'm in the construction trades myself. I never thought I'd be speaking in opposition of construction projects, but instead of building roads with it, there's maybe some other things you can do and build some homes or schools and have another public-public partnership to think outside the box. Thank you.
Let me call up Fahud Dagher. Susan Wagman, and Kathleen Goodwin.
Good morning, member. My name is Fahud Dagher. I am here to express my opposition to SR 710 anywhere in Pasadena. The potential danger of this project far outweighed the good that it will bring our community. Since 1950, Los Angeles Basin became the world leader in pollution. We are in LA Basin. Many lives will be affected in our neighborhood, in our community, in Pasadena, South Pasadena, El Sereno, Highland Park, and you name it, by this nightmare of Extension 710. Many lives in South Pasadena had been affected, lost their homes, moved to places they don't want to go to by this nightmare extension. And you know who caused this nightmare. The proposed 710 extension is a 40 years old idea. Million and million of tax dollars went to the drain for this extension. It seemed neither us or you are going to give up on that.
Thank you, sir. Susan?
Thank you. Again, I'm here representing myself and my neighbors in the San Rafael neighborhood. I'm not a wealthy homeowner. I don't live in one of those big houses on the flats of San Rafael. I live in the San Rafael Hills. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the book, The Secret Stairs of Los Angeles, but I live on one of those staircases. And an objective person, the author of this book, describes my area as being filled with wonderful trees and singing birds. And I live 5 blocks from the 8-lane highway that you want to consider putting through my neighborhood. And I don't think you need to spend millions of dollars studying the environmental impact of putting a highway through there. So I would say that I'm going to oppose the extension of Measure R, and all of my neighbors will, and all of our friends will, until you drop this proposal. And that's my word. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen Goodwin, followed by Sheikh Ramansir.
I'm here on behalf of the San Rafael Neighborhoods Association. We urge the Metro Board to immediately reassess the entire North 710 study process. Although the 710 has been promoted as a tunnel under communities, Metro is spending tens of millions of dollars studying freeways and highways that will cut through neighborhoods on the surface, threatening hundreds of homes, businesses, parks, and schools. Even the so-called tunnel routes would involve substantial construction on the surface, and in the case of our Pasadena neighborhood, the destruction of more than 150 homes and businesses. This is not acceptable, and neither our neighborhood nor our community should be faced with this level of needless destruction. The North 710 study is further flawed because it has failed to adequately consider alternatives to more cars, trucks, and pollution. Freight is better moved by train than by trucks, and money allocated for the 710 would be much better spent on improving rail connections from the ports. The 710 study fails to adequately consider the rail alternative. No, thank you.
Followed by John Walsh and then Ray Bailey or Rye Bailey. Yes.
Good morning, Sheikh Ramasar. Okay. Council members, Metro team, Caltrain team. It's been almost five decades you've been working on this project. It's obvious a project we the citizens don't want. You, our elected officials, are not listening to we the people. A project that's five decades in the making simply does not live up to today's technological society and world. London, two decades ago, had a congestion problem. They solved it simply by looking at their existing infrastructure, made adjustments. Those adjustments include raising fees going into central London, which created less of congestion. Let's look at projects like that. Let's look at taking the Diamond Lane and make it into a commercial throughway, not to move vehicles. Thank you.
Thank you. After Mr. Walsh, it's Ray Balick and Bill Urban. Yes, sir.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. No 710 extension. I was a young man when I first heard of the 710 extension with not a gray hair in my head. And every gray hair in my head, half of them comes from the 710 extension. We will stop it. But this is bait and switch. Remember 4 years ago, Prop R 2008? Guaranteed, every single project will be built with that $45 billion. Just give it to us. And 4 years later, they run out of money and need another $90 billion to build the same 3010 project. And 4 years from now, again and again, until the year 2069, when 116-year-old Antonio Villaraigosa will get up here and say, someday I will become the President of the United States. Where is the mayor? He's at home. And we know what he does at the Getty Mansion. Ask Lou.
Good morning, Metro Board. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. My name is Rye Berg, and I'm with the Safe Routes to School National Partnership. We're here today because Measure R represents about 20% of the funding in LA County over the next 25 years. And currently about 20% of the trips are made by walking and biking. Unfortunately, also about 25% of the fatalities are people who are walking and biking. So we see a big discrepancy here when in the 2008 long-range transportation plan, there's only 1% of the funding for these modes. So we need to look at how the transit capital and the highway capital in this measure can be used to create complete streets that work for all modes and how they can be used to create first and last mile connections to our transit so that we can really see the biggest bang for our buck from these projects. So I just want to make sure that in the months ahead as we continue to implement Measure R, we make sure that we address the needs of all the users in Los Angeles County, not just those in the cars. Thank you.
Thank you. Urban, there's Karen Leibowitz and Bill Bicker. Yes, sir.
We've combined the last two you mentioned, so I should get 2 minutes. Bill Bicker and
okay,
Karen are combined.
You want, want you and Bill? Three of you?
Sorry?
You're saying that you want to do the other two as well?
Yes.
Okay, for 3 minutes? Okay.
Well, yes.
Okay, so Bill Bicker, Bill Urban, Karen Leibowitz, and you. You lead the three. Okay.
Right.
Speak. 3 minutes, sir.
So, okay, thank you. Good morning. My name is Bill Urban. I am president of the West Pasadena Residents Association. I am here on behalf of the association, which is over 50 years old, represents about 5,000 concerned homeowners in southwestern Pasadena. We understand that you want voters to extend the Measure R sales tax this November. Our experience with the SR 710 study so far does not lead us to believe the tax money would be well spent. We have found staff and consultants wasting time and money studying pointless freeways along nearly impractical routes where other means of transportation would better serve. Various representatives provide canned responses, business cards without names, and post-it notes for public comments. If this is the way projects are run, we would oppose extending Measure R and urge others to do the same. For specific issues we have with the SR 7 study to date, let me refer to our letter dated July 19th to Metro and Caltrans officials, which we delivered to this board on its July 26th meeting. As the letter states, our association strongly opposes alternative routes under consideration, routes which would plow through and destroy historic and sensitive areas of West Pasadena. The letter also sets forth our serious concerns and misgivings about the lack of transparency in the process and the unreasonable assumptions being used in the study. Because of these concerns, and because our association's mission includes preserving the quality of life in Pasadena, we are compelled to and will vigorously oppose all of these routing alternatives with every means at our disposal. This includes that if the SR 710 study continues to proceed without correction, we would have to oppose extending Measure R and urge others to do the same. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Mitch Silverman, Charlotte Simpson, and Clint Simmons.
I don't know all the legal language.
Give your name for the record.
Rich Silverman. I don't know all the legal language. I don't know all the amendment numbers and the ballot numbers and all that, but I do know this. Highland Park is a wonderful neighborhood, and more than that, it's a wonderful community, and community is a very rare thing in Los Angeles. If the 710 extension goes through, it's going to destroy the community. It's going to create a ton more congestion and pollution. This is little more than a handout to the trucking companies and the construction firms, and it's a boot on the faces of thousands of people. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir. Charlotte, to be followed by Clint Simmons or Simons.
Hello, my name is Charlotte Simpson. I own property at 5311 Granada Street in Highland Park. I've owned it for 20 years. I campaigned to help make Highland Park a historical preservation overlay zone, going door to door, gathering signatures. This is one of the most incredible neighborhoods in Los Angeles, or to me, the world. I really love the area. And when people post ads for apartments, they in the area, one of the things they often put is freeway close. We have enough freeways in Highland Park and Garvanza, the area. We have enough. We have all we need. We don't need any more freeways built through our area. And I don't believe it's to relieve congestion at all. I feel like it's to help the freight come up from the port and get to the desert communities. And it's not fooling anybody. So it's a very controversial issue, and I'd appreciate it if you would not use funds to promote the 710 extension.
Thank you. After one moment, after Clint will be Ruben Del Potulio and Trish Gossard. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Clint Simmons. I'm with the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. This extension covers $90 billion, and not one cent of it goes for the Crenshaw area. This is really unbelievable, but yet you want everybody to vote for it. It's a misnomer. It's saying that this is a traffic relief act. That is wrong, because every time you put in a rail or whatever the case may be, you find developers. They will follow it around, and we still have the same traffic problem that we had prior to the even rail being put in. The next question is jobs. That is a misnomer. They're always hollering about that this will create jobs. Jobs for who? For the politicians and special privileged people who they cover and represent. Those are the ones that benefits from these programs. But in terms of extending $90 billion, not one nickel ever come to our area. Even the proposed street section, you're not even using bowsers for the rail. You're going to use the old rail, the concrete cross ties and rocks, which is ridiculous for something.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for giving me a chance to speak. And
good morning. My name is Ruben Del Portillo. Mr. Huizar and members of the board, the H-13 extension of the 710 freeway will have monumental impact, as you've already heard, in our community of Highland Park. Mr. Huizar, Highland Park opposes any form of the extension of the 710. I humbly ask this board to cease any extension of the 710 and to focus on the Gold Line extension. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Trish Scossett. Trish. Okay. Followed by Damson Goodman, Crenshaw Subway Coalition, and is it Don Pinsky? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Trish Gossett from Highland Park. Thank you for having this meeting today. I'm here to campaign for the preservation of my own community and get that off the radar of the 710 extension project. I feel like the 710 extension is a horrible use of Measure R funds, and I think it should be taken off the roster completely. I can't imagine why we are even considering taking money out of railways, which move goods and people in an efficient manner, and putting them into highway projects, which we know in LA, they just get more and more congested. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. But you know, Ms. Molina, I took the Gold Line to your office one time, and it was magnificent. I took the Gold Line here. It's magnificent to take the Gold Line and take a train and feel like you live in the second largest city in the country. And I would really appreciate for you to consider extending the Gold Line.
Thank you. M-I-E-N? Okay, yes.
Just to clarify, Mr. Chair, the item 2D will be spoken and voted on separately. Well, can I speak to them both now? Both this issue and the item 2D.
In your 1 minute, yeah.
I've got two cards in, one for 2D and one for this, unless Tori Bailey wants to
do your one card now, and when the other card comes up, we'll call you then.
Thank you, sir. $90 billion. $90 billion and not a cent to address the rail safety, economic development, the life of the last African-American business corridor in Southern California. Not a cent for us. Is this a product of a failure of imagination or the typical short-shrifting and short-changing of our community? We've come to this mic for years stating the necessity of simply appropriating the necessary funds to make the Crenshaw Line what it needs to be for our community and an asset to the region. Years, and here you come to discuss $90 billion, and there's not one-third of 1% for Crenshaw. Where's Mel Wilson when you need him to tell us how we don't have the money? It's disrespectful. It's disgraceful. And as you come to the African-American churches and ask for us to vote for this measure, as we have voted in the past for every sales tax measure presented on transportation, just tell us that you don't have one-third of 1% for the Crenshaw Line.
Pinsky, Penny, Tori Bailey, Sung-Young Young. Chantel
on
I'm Tori Bailey, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Crenshaw District as well. $90 billion, we would like to ensure that there is some fair and just funds allocated for the Crenshaw District to be considered.
Sung Young Yang.
Good morning, Board. Sun Young Yang with the Bus Riders Union. I think this agency needs to change its name to the Corporate Profit Construction Agency rather than a transportation agency. Let me tell you clearly who's benefiting from the current Measure R and the $90 billion that this agency wants out of the extension. Parsons Brinckerhoff, right? Multinational corporation gets a $542 million contract for the second phase of the Expo Corridor, right? They're the same company that gave $75,000 on the Yes on the Measure R campaign, wanted it so Measure R so bad because it meant more profits for their corporation. This is the same corporation that gets billions in military contracts, promotes through the California Political Action Committee, giving funds to right-wing politicians, and as well as, I'm sure, people also on this board, right? Who knows? But basically the same forces that are promoting this kind of corporate contract is the one who's going to be benefiting from the Measure R extension. I urge you to vote no.
Good morning, Chantal, also with the Bus Riders Union. I want to continue to mark our strong disagreement with the extension of Measure R. Neither in the current measure or in the proposed extension is there viable funding source to operate and maintain new transit systems that you all are building. Historically, this has meant that there is no budget left to operate current rail systems, and then the discretionary funds like Prop C and Prop A that are used to operate the bus system are instead used to correct your lack of foresight. We have seen an overall bus operation funding decrease. The Measure R 20% is not an increase, rather just a bait and switch. Simultaneously, you are continuing to build new systems with no thought towards their operation or maintenance costs. This has resulted in concrete dismantling of the bus system, and we urge you to vote no on the amendment and the extension of Measure R.
Eric Roman to be followed by Terry Dipple.
Eric Roman from the Bus Riders Union. Some of our other speakers have already addressed this, but let's talk a little bit about what working class communities and communities of color across the city, members of the Bus Riders Union, members of our allies from the Crenshaw community, members, community members in East Los Angeles, across the city. Number one, rail construction provides the opportunity, as you all know, for real estate development. But what does a real estate development look like? It generally looks like building market rate, either market rate housing or commercial development, and in the process displacing working class people who typically are themselves transit users for the benefit of very deep-pocketed real estate developers. Number two, it promises 30 years of fare increases. That's in your long-range transportation plan. That's what you're promising to your own riders, even though you're asking them for another $90 billion. And last but not least, of course, continued rating of the bus system and bus service cuts to continue the civil rights crisis so that you can build more rail. Thank you.
Thank you. Terry Dipple.
Good morning, members of the board. I'm the executive director of the Las Virgenes Malibu Council of Governments. I would just really like a point of clarification. Our cities appreciate your attempt to provide some flexibility with Measure R, but we do have some concerns about the language, specifically that states that fund transfers will only occur within a subregion, which we would support. But I would like some reinforcement, because we just want to make sure that there wouldn't be, because, well, let me back up and state that our subregion has no transit funds. It's all the highway funds, and we would want to make sure that there's not a reshuffling that would take our transit, our highway funds out of our subregion that would go to another subregion. So we would just like a point of clarification on that. And we appreciate your efforts and look forward to continue working with your staff on the Measure R projects. Thank you.
It wasn't kosher. Don, it's P-I-N-K-R-J-E-Y. Tim Goodman already spoke. And Eric Roman already spoken. So, you got to call him again? Okay.
My name is Dove Savage Pinckney. I am a part of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. I talk frequently at the many various organizations that I'm involved with to the people who live in our community, and it's very difficult, practically impossible, to have people understand why is it that when we are opposed to what's going on, you continue in the direction that you were in from the very beginning, with no consideration for our concerns. It's just impossible to believe that with the allocation of $90 million, nothing would be placed there for our community. It just doesn't, it's just impossible to understand. The other thing has to do with the fact that at the north and the southern end of the subway, the one that we would like at underground to continue, why would you leave the area and come to street level after being underground at the north and the south end? It just doesn't compute. Maybe somebody has some logical reason for wanting to do it at street level and destroy our businesses and our cultural area.
Thank you.
You need to think about it long and hard.
Thank you, ma'am.
It's not right.
Okay, Damson Goodman on 2D. And then Eric Roman.
2D is the informational packet presented by staff that they'd like you to vote on, and I'm just curious as to why, despite the fact that on page 4 it clearly states that there will be no acceleration of the Crenshaw Line project, why under on page 9, under the projects that will be accelerated, Crenshaw Transit Corridor is on that list. Why is it there? That's the first issue. The second issue is you have this undefined category of projects not funded which are on the map. It's completely disingenuous to include the Foothill Extension and an extension from the Expo Line to the Wilshire Line and the Crenshaw Transit Corridor on a ballot measure that you're sending out to voters, asking them to tax themselves until the cows come home. So given the profound concern of this board about grammar, can we get some concern about accuracy? Supervisor Yourselowski, can you offer a motion to strike Crenshaw's Transit Corridor from the list of projects that will be accelerated in the name of accuracy? You guys are looking for a name for this measure, or a letter for this measure. Let me offer D. D for deceptive, dishonest, and disingenuous.
Thank you. Those are all the name cards that we had submitted to request to speak on this item. So we will go to...
You guys, where's my card? I put my card on the second time you guys take it away from me.
Okay. Give your name to the secretary.
Renato Lira.
Signed up for public comment. It has not been held yet.
Well, I put that one too. There was two that I put. I put three on there.
Okay, come up and, in a minute.
I know that the board members that you guys hear, you guys don't like the truth. You don't like about the committees there to defend our city. I know you guys are part of a bunch of political. You take your money away from the residents. You guys need to extend Major R. It's only for the buses, for the rail lines. Not for you guys to take advantage of it and give it to your other friends to do projects. The Expo line took so long to get Bill. There were some issues going on with that. You guys are going to continue giving contracts to the other people when they are not doing their job, is making money to go wasted. You know, Molina, I ask you to support us on this Major R, to focus for the red light stations, to build the Gold Line, the Metro Line, Red Line, to get more standard to different directions. Let's stop the political here in the Metro. That's what you guys need to do.
Thank you. It's the public testimony on item number two. Let me first say that the amendment that is being proposed, there is no assurances MTA would provide funding for the subregions. What it does, it moves funding out of highways, which has many needed transit projects, robbing Peter to pay Paul. There's no guarantee that an extra $3 billion in Measure R extension highway dollars would be available for the subregions in the next 10 years, as promised. There's also no guarantee that subregions would receive the funding that MTA has proposed. The only place in the distribution of future highway dollars is in the next 10 years, is a pie chart that they present to the public. The subregional split is neither codified by law in Measure R extension ordinance nor the established state legislation. There is no protection for the subregions that this promise would actually take place after the vote in November. The San Gabriel Valley would be able to allocate approximately $8 million, but this allocation is why the San Gabriel Valley is going to have money taken out of valuable transit programs, and it's not going to help connect and make that connection to Claremont a reality. The interesting issue, and we go back to the ballot argument, Measure R, and this Measure R extension is a continuation. But the Measure R language specifically said that it was going to enhance or increase signal synchronization. New ballot language continues that same lie, that the airport connections will be also constructed through Measure R. We have 5 airports serving Los Angeles County residents. LAX, still no Green Line connection to LAX, or will that be accelerated through a Measure R extension? Or does the amendment help it? Bob Hope, Burbank, Pasadena, Glendale Airport, again, the rail lines are not being extended there or will be enhanced. Long Beach, the blue line stops far short to Long Beach International Airport. That's not going to be helped. Ontario and Palmdale will not be helped. Only one airport, not plural, has any money directed, and that's LAX, but that's $200 million out of a billion-dollar project. It's less than 25% of that funding. There's no funding to link east end of Green Line to Norwalk Metrolink Station, and it brings travelers and employees from other parts of the county. So you have that situation where the airport connections that they tell you you're going to be receiving is all of a facade. Not a single one of the 12 projects will be accelerated in Measure R's extension. Not a single one of the 12 projects will be accelerated. 5 measures are already opening up in Measure R, so they're not going to be enhanced by this Measure R extension. All of these projects would open on schedule without this Measure R extension, and that's the Gold Line extension to Azusa, the Expo Phase 2, the Crenshaw LAX, and the East San Fernando Valley Transit Corridor, and the Orange Line extension. Only 4 projects will definitely be accelerated, and that's the subway. And what we're doing is that $1.5 billion that all the taxpayers are going to be giving a gift for that extension is taking money out of your communities for your transit needs. Only 3 projects are dependent upon outside funding to match Measure R funding for any chance of acceleration. The regional connector opens in 2019, regardless of Measure R extension, if the federal funds for the New START applications are received. Without federal funds, project stalls because Measure R extension does not help them with $1. The LAX airport is short $800 million, as I said, and the acceleration of funding through Measure R does nothing to make that happen. Funding the countywide freeway traffic flow, bridge improvements, and pothole repair, what they told you was going to be done, was a joke. There's no requirement to spend money on those projects. What happened to the traffic signal synchronization promises of Measure R? 4 years ago, that was the first promise made to the voters in the Measure R ballot language, but nowhere is that to be found. It's misleading. Operating funds in Measure R extension are not available for use until after 2039. Most of you will be at Forest Lawn, Mount Sinai, Eternal Valley, or Rose Hills. unless you want to buy a lot more broccoli. Acceleration of projects will lead to greater structural deficit in 2017 that need to be fixed with fare increases, including across-the-board fare increases. The Measure R extension claims to accelerate, as I said, these 12 projects, but it does nothing for 9 of the 12 transit projects that we're talking about. It does nothing for them. And that's the situation. You're being told one wonderful solution to transit needs, but yet it's not going to be achieved. All they want is you to vote for an extension of a tax that's going to go to 2059. So it really comes down to, where are we? Are we telling the people of one falsehood and then basing another falsehood to get their vote to extend their tax that is going to be meeting what they think is going to be met by those priorities in the ballot argument? They're not going to be met. And shifting money from highways to whatever is not going to resolve the problem, because we need funds for highways just as we need funds for transit. And robbing Peter to pay Paul is the wrong way of providing a regional comprehensive transportation system, which every taxpayer is paying for, and we ought to have equity, and not a proposal that locks you in to 2004 population statistics. That's not equity. There are parts of this county that are going to grow in population, and those funds should be traveling to those areas so they meet their transit needs, not going in to subsidize a $1.5 billion allocation for a subway when we have other needs in our areas that our local residents are paying taxes for. We need a comprehensive regional transportation system, such as I said, connecting all of our airports to all of our rail lines to our airports. We are the only area in the United States that has no rail connections to our airports. We have a fourth world LAX. It's embarrassing for the foreigners who come here to go through that airport, as it is for others from other cities and states across the United States. This is not helping them to become a first-class airport. So anyway, those are the situations and why the amendment is a big nothing, and Measure R2 further exacerbates our ability to provide a regional transportation system that meets all of our community needs, not just one segment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It might not surprise anyone, I have a slightly different view, but I respect yours and your right to it and where you're coming from. But I do feel it's important to point out, nothing moves under this amendment without a two-thirds vote of the entire board. For anyone who's been to any of our meetings, you understand the difficulty it would take to get a two-thirds vote to adjourn, let alone do something substantive. So any proposal like this that should come forward would still require a two-thirds vote. It's an option for an area. The money's already in the regions. The money that's been allocated by the long-range plan already goes to the regions, so they have the money in the projects. If a vote were to be made, taken, and two-thirds vote to move transit or highway or vice versa, the money would stay in the subregions per the amendment, and the money's already in the region, so it's not a question of allocating from this board. Finally, so far Measure R has sent back to the cities in LA County $40 million a year for each of the last 3 years, $120 million that goes to projects that your cities decide to spend it on transportation programs, whether it's ADSAC intersections or left-hand turn lanes or commuter services. That's a decision that the city councils make, $120 million. This continues that same 15% local return. And finally, I want to correct there appears to be some confusion or misunderstanding. Of the extension money, none of it has been allocated. Let me say that one more time for everybody who keeps saying we allocated all this money and didn't come to their community. None of the money has been allocated. This board will do that in the future, and anybody who claims that the money's been allocated is wrong. There are people who have ideas with the money. There are people who have proposals for the money. There's people who have ideas based on the current long-range plan. But other than the long-range plan and what will be funded under the long-range plan, that money has not been allocated by this board and cannot be until the voters decide whether or not to pass the Measure R extension.
Thank you. Well, it's interesting. It does take a two-thirds vote of the MTA board, but L.A. City has four votes, and if they don't vote together, they are replaced. As we see, we have replacements almost monthly on this body. So it's kind of like going into a poker tournament, and you have four aces up your sleeve. So, you know, the other shortcoming is one that we have been directly involved with. When Measure R1 was placed on the ballot, 3% funding went for Metrolink. We had one of the worst train tragedies that occurred in September. That ballot argument for Measure R1 passed in November, but the accident was in September. Since that time, we've been in accelerated upgrading that system for safety improvement and enhancements. But this also locks in Metrolink funding at 3% until 2059. We serve five counties. We need to do our share so that the residents, the 10 million residents in L.A. County, have a safe ride when they ride Metrolink, which one day will be going from Palmdale to San Diego. Locking them in at 3% is unconscionable and irresponsible. And anyone that goes before the voters and says this is the way you provide a good regional transportation system doesn't get it. You need to have a growth, a cost of living increase that's not factored in, be it on Metrolink or be it on population, until 2059. And we all know this area is going to grow, and we all know that Metrolink needs a safe, safe transit system for the six counties that participate in it. So the motion on the, it's not 2059, it's 2069. So there'll be a few more residents at Mount Sinai, Forest Lawn, and Rose Hill, and Eternal Valley, and some of the other locals. Okay, you had a motion, Supervisor Jaroslawski. Your amendment was to what? Or
The motion at this time is to adopt the amendment.
Okay. We have Pat O'Connor, who is on the telephone, who will also be voting. So,
Chair,
Supervisor,
this is item 2A, correct?
2A, 2A, just 2A.
And because this is a roll call vote, because there's somebody on the telephone, it should be a roll call vote.
Okay, roll call vote.
Director Najarian?
Yes.
Director Fasana?
Yes.
Director Huizar?
Yes.
Director Jaroslawski?
Yes.
Director O'Connor?
Yes.
Director Katz?
Yes.
Director Ridley Thomas?
No. Oh, I thought you said, well, we're going down the list here. Okay.
Director Ridley Thomas?
Abstain.
That's a different voice in the first vote.
I'm reading. Director Du Bois?
Yes.
Director Kanabi?
Yes.
Director Molina? Director Fleming?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, no. Motion carries, and on item, you're doing B, C, D as one motion?
Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Kanabi.
I think
Well, I asked for the bifurcation. I should have probably included 2B as well. So I'd like to take a separate vote on 2B and then vote on C and D separately.
You want to vote on item B separately?
Yes.
Okay. So is there an amendment on item B?
No. Item B is the enabler for A, as I understand.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Katz, second by Mr. Fasano. Okay. Call the roll.
Director Najarian?
Yes.
Director Fasana?
Yes.
Director Wiesar?
Yes.
Director Yaroslavsky?
Yes.
Director O'Connor?
Yes.
Director Katz?
Yes.
Director Ridley Thomas? Director Du Bois?
Yes.
Director Kanabi?
Yes.
Director Molina? Director Fleming?
Yes.
Chair Antonovich?
No.
Motion carries.
Okay, on item number C and D as one.
Include my amendment, Mr. Chairman.
And restate your amendment.
Got the mail informational pamphlet from the information program.
Yes, understood.
There would be no mail piece from the agency in connection with this measure.
Right.
Okay. Okay, call the roll on...
Question?
Okay, Supervisor, Director Fasano.
Yes, thank you. I do have a question in terms of some of the comments that have been made, particularly by legal counsel for the Gold Line. And one of the items that stands out, and this really applies to other projects as well, where there's not funding for the entire major defined projects or even legislatively defined projects. Is there a sense of an approach of showing the entire cost, even if they're not funded by Major R, for those projects in the expenditure plan that would go with Major R? I'm asking Mr. Safer this question.
Is the question, could you repeat the question, please?
The question being, you know, one of the concerns I've heard expressed is that the expenditure plan does not show the unfunded portion of certain projects. And my understanding, and I think it's very clear that while the extension will do a lot of good, in many respects, and it's the extension I support, it does not fully fund all the projects that are listed. And my question, is there a sense of a way to show the unfunded portions of some of these projects, I think Crenshaw, Goldline, Foothill, and some of the others in the expenditure plan?
Well, the expenditure plan does have a column entitled estimated completion cost. And that completion cost, you know, is the cost to complete the project. It does not reflect the amount of Measure R funding. It's up to staff, you know, to complete that and determine that number. Staff certainly could include that number in the
I guess that's what my question
plan
is.
If it was available to them, but it's not really a Measure R issue.
Yeah, if I could add to that, the June item had a strategic financial plan that was also incorporated into the board item in the staff report, and it did show the full project costs and the funding and revenue that were assumed for all the projects in the long-range plan. But for the purposes of the extension ordinance, we needed to only show in the expenditure plan the Measure R funding and the changes that were being incorporated by just the extension.
Okay, and that gets to my question, I guess, to legal counsel. The strategic attachment did show those numbers. The attachment A does not. And I guess my question is, why can't attachment A show the unfunded portion?
The expenditure plan can show the estimated completion cost of the project. I would again look to staff to find out, you know, to determine what that cost is, how to determine the cost. But certainly the cost of the project, if the project is defined as going from point A to point B, the estimated completion project to get from A to B certainly, you know, could be included in that. Maybe it would be appropriate to include in that number. It doesn't make it deficient or defective if it's not, but it certainly could be included.
Well, I would like to see it included, and again, you know, I'm prepared to support this, but I would like to see those numbers included. And I know the Crenshaw and Goldline, at least, and there are probably some others that have unfunded elements as well.
Supervisor Canova.
Yeah, just on your actually on your information package, the transit project acceleration chart is an example. One of my concerns is the West Side subway is being accelerated ahead of the Green Line extension to LAX, the one we keep talking about. And, you know, how does that all match up at the end of the dollars? And I think it relates to what Mr. Fasano is saying or what these unfunded pieces are. Obviously, that connector is very important. The Crenshaw piece is extremely important. That gets to the South Bay and our whole region. So I think, you know, we need to know what those unfunded dollars are. I mean, that's being honest with the voters.
Acknowledge that.
Well, wait a minute. Are you where are you suggesting that we put this? Pardon me.
I was suggesting that we just include the unfunded portion, just add a column and include it in the attachment A to mirror what's been done in the strategic funding. So
not,
it wouldn't differ from the strategic.
Not in the ballot language, then. It would just be in the information package.
It'd be in that attachment. It wouldn't be in the ballot language itself.
Can I ask a question?
No, we want to lower fares in the ballot language.
Supervisor Arasovsky.
First of all, Crenshaw and the Foothill Gold Line are not the only projects that have a gap. The subway has a gap. The regional connector has a gap. We did not. San Diego Freeway 405 has a gap. And there,
all the highway projects.
Okay, all the highway projects. But there are. So once we start going down this. It will make this a meaningless exercise. When we approved Measure R in 2008, we funded all that we could fund with the. It was a decision that was made by the board. We funded all that was available that could be apportioned to these highway projects as well as the transit projects. Almost all of them had some kind of gap of one type or another. Almost all of them had an assumption of state funding, over which we had no control. Some of them, the regional connector and the subway, had federal funding. That was a big part of that. So I'm reticent to start changing the assumptions now that we were operating under before. So we apply them to all of them.
I concur with applying them to all of them.
Yeah, I wasn't. I just made an example of the one that, you know, the Green Line extension to LAX versus the subway. I would want to apply them to all, absolutely. I don't have a problem with that.
Taking the strategic numbers and moving them to attachment A.
But the operating funds and Measure R extension are not available for use until after 2039. So there's no relief for the next 27 years. And the acceleration of projects would lead to greater structural deficits in 2017 that will be requiring fare increases across the board. So what you have is a situation that Measure R did not meet the definitions created in legislation. The Gold Line to Claremont is in that legislation, and it's not being met by this. The Crenshaw Line to Wilshire, not exposition, is not being met by this. Measure R and the enabling legislation both make the following project definitions very clear. The Gold Line is defined to Claremont. Nowhere in Measure R or legislation is Azusa the terminus. The Crenshaw Line is defined to Wilshire. Both projects had the legislative intent undermined by virtue of the funding provided for these projects. Funding shortfalls have made Azusa and Expo a new de facto terminus. And no other projects have had such clear definitions attached in the legislation passed by the legislature. So it's false to say that other projects are in the same position. Failure to fund those projects according to legislative intent is essentially fraud committed on the voters of L.A. County. Call the roll on C and D, Director Katz. We'll make you a supervisor yet.
Yeah, I appreciate that one, I think. We're splitting, now we're still splitting all four up, right? Is this a vote on
C and D?
C and D? All right,
we've already voted on 2A and 2B.
Right, no, I remember, but I was confused, Don. I thought you'd split all four. That's why.
Oh, no, C and D, you can vote together.
There was a friendly amendment to Director Yaroslavsky's motion by Director Katz.
Yes.
What? That was already done. That was already approved. That's fine. We're done.
But there was one point. There's a typo we wanted to clean up in the fact sheet, and actually Mr. Goodman had mentioned it. So I just want to make sure that that's clear as well.
I would assume there's no objection to correcting a typo.
Okay.
But
I just want to make sure.
Not sure, I'm a little concerned that if we start listing, everything virtually, including all the highway programs, are looking for the completion of their funding, as I understand. Paul, is that correct? Or Doug? The highway projects are looking for funding.
Absolutely.
So this becomes then a list of stuff that may not ever get built, as opposed to the stuff that can be built. So, and I think it does nothing but confuse voters. It's, in Sacramento, there is a phrase for this called loving something to death. And, I believe in transparency. I believe in being straight up on what's being voted on. I think this creates the impression of a lot of stuff that's never going to happen, and we should be upfront about that and not create that kind of impression in front of the voters.
Hey, Mr. Director Fasano.
Again, I will support this either way. What I'm suggesting, though, as well, is that these are major R projects. I think as we proceed throughout the year showing that there are major R projects and showing that there are these other components, they may not be fully funded, allows the board and does maintain with the faith with the voters as we look at major R. In subsequent years, we can go back and look at some of these in terms of really completing the major R agenda. That's why I supported listing the unfunded portions. And again, I'm not sure this actually appears in the ballot language itself, but it's really the attachment rather than the strategic attachment. The column has already been filled out for all the projects, so it's just moving that into the attachment A.
Okay, call the roll.
I'll move that as an amendment to see what the board wants to do. Just to include the listing of the unfunded portions in the expenditure plan for all the projects.
What does that mean?
With a gap, so you put in $35 million.
By gap is for each project, which is in the strategic portion.
I thought that on the old attachment A, if it's the same attachment 4 years ago, you could extrapolate what the unfunded portion was. Could you not?
No.
So what we've been showing is the total project budget, Cosette, and what the Measure R proceeds allocation would be.
Correct.
And so you subtract one from the other, and you see what the gap is. I know I've looked at that chart enough times to remember that.
So that was the So we.
So I really don't see any reason why we would change the attachments architecture from what it was 4 years ago.
Right.
Leave it the way it is. You can figure it out by simple subtraction if you want to figure out what the gap is.
Thank you.
I'll say as an example, the gold line shows the funding only to Azusa. So you can't figure out that there's a gap if you went to Claremont just off attachment A. You'd need to go to the strategic plan.
Well, that's because that's all the money they had for it, I think, is the reason for that.
Right. And the point of this.
Not implied to be the terminus of the line. It's just what the money that was available for was.
I'm just saying you can't subtract one from the other in that case.
I would ask for no vote on the amendment.
I'll move that as an amendment.
Okay, we have an amendment on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
We have a second. Call the roll.
Okay. Director Najarian?
No.
Director Fasana?
Yes.
Director Wizar?
No.
Director Yaroslavsky?
No.
Director O'Connor?
No.
Director Katz?
No.
Director Ridley Thomas? Director Du Bois? Director Kanavi?
Yes.
Director Molina? Director Fleming?
No.
Motion doesn't. Chair Antonovich?
Aye.
Motion does not carry.
Okay, we're on the main motion, C and D. Call the roll.
Director Najarian?
Yes.
Director Fasana?
Yes.
Director Wezar?
Yes.
Director Yaroslavsky?
Yes.
Director O'Connor?
Yes.
Director Katz?
Yes.
Director Ridley Thomas?
No.
Director Du Bois?
Yes.
Director Banabi?
No.
Director Molina?
Yes.
Director Fleming?
Yes.
Motion carries. Chair Antonovich?
No.
And that includes the amendments that were approved earlier, correct?
Well, as amended, yeah. Okay, motion carries. On item, I'm going to call up items 4 and 5 together because both deal with the issue of safety, which concerns our oldest and our newest rail lines, which are going to require major attention by our board and the agency. The issues with the Expo Line Junction and with the Blue Line are well documented, and we need a long-term solution that receives support from the Public Utilities Commission and ensures that our system is safe and operating efficiently. As for the Blue Line, the numbers of issues we have had on this line from accidents to breakdowns is alarming. Before we take up these items, it's important to say that we cannot look at these lines in isolation or pit one against the other. We have to look at safety as a whole. The Expo Line just opening up in Culver City, the Orange Line extension of Chatsworth, the Gold Line extension to...
Mr. Chair.
The Expo
Line. If folks in the audience could keep it down, please, would like to hear the chairman's motion.
The Expo Line to Santa Monica opening in 2016, the Crenshaw Line to LAX in 2018, and the Regional Connector potentially opening in 2019. This aggressive expansion is going to require a commitment by the board and staff to make safety the top priority on a daily basis. If the Measure R extension were to pass, we could have even more projects opening up in the next decade, which will strain our ability to operate safely. With this in mind, I would like to announce that we have our board workshop on September 5th at 9 a.m. here. This is similar to the workshop we held for the Metrolink board, which many of you will recall dealt with the horrible aftermath of the September train tragedy that claimed 25 lives. We also saw a renewed focus on safety over in Washington, D.C. in the wake of their June 2009 crash, which killed 9 and injured 70. In both cases, those boards were rocketed with both the tragedy and the loss of life and injury, but also the responsibility of figuring out what went wrong, leading to those breaches of public safety and trust, including the incredible scrutiny from the National Transportation Safety Board that demanded accountability. Now is the time to bring this issue to the top of our agenda. The workshop will have national leaders on the topic, from the National Transit Safety Board member, Honorable Robert Zumwalt, the board director and former U.S. Deputy Secretary of Transportation, Honorable Mort Downey, and safety culture expert Howard Roberts. So it's vital that we become proactive for safety. The motion that I had in October of 2011 put safety and culture at the forefront of our newly named System Safety and Operations Committee as a first step to reaching that goal. The workshop is going to be informative and very important, so we should all attend. And now let me call up 4 and 5 and begin with
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Alejandro, Chief Operations Officer for Metro, along with Vijay Kwani, our Director of Safety, and Mr. Rick Thorpe, representing Expo. Following the letter from the CPC on July 13 directing the replacement of the frog at the Metro Blue Line and the Expo Junction, and issues related to the automatic train protection, ATP, feature of the train control system, meeting was held with the CPC on July 19th. As required in their letter, a plan and schedule is due to the CPC August 20th. Metro and Expo will be meeting with the CPC this Thursday to go over a tentative plan and the selection of the track expert that will be doing an assessment of the issues related to the junction track issues. At this time, I'll turn it over to Mr. Thorpe for a further update.
Yes, thank you. We have obviously received the letter. We immediately met with the PUC. We all agreed that we needed to bring in a national expert. It's a very complex intersection between the Blue Line and Expo Line. We have some non-standard curves in that location. We're limited because we have the Grand Station on Washington Street, which limits what we can do in that area. Our original design met all of the criteria, Metro's criteria, gauge widening, REMA standards was reviewed and approved by Expo and Metro staff and installed. We verified the installation as being per the design. We did have some wear on the frog area, and we made some modifications to that and are continuing to monitor it on almost a daily basis. I believe Metro's also reduced the speed through that curve, and we don't at this point believe there's any safety concerns from the public standpoint. But we will continue to work with the PUC to bring on a track work expert and see what they what their recommendation is for the junction.
So that would conclude the report, unless there would be an additional request, or the IG's office is here if they want to comment.
Yes, they're here.
I know that they're going to be doing a report, which is not, which is just now starting up. But if the board so desires, they're here.
The memo that we received from the Inspector General states that the OIG initiated an investigation of certain Expo construction matters. Subsequently, on July 26th, Metro CEO and board asked the inspector to investigate an alignment issue. What date did the investigation start?
Supervisor Antonovich, I'm Albert McKenzie, the manager for the Inspector General's office with Jack Shigatomi, the Deputy Inspector General. We actually were originally contacted in May of 2011. And we immediately looked into this and found that Metro, Expo, and the PUC were keenly aware of the issue and were working to resolve it and find a solution. Since then, we have interviewed numerous witnesses. We have reviewed numerous documents. We're preparing a report for the board and Metro, which hopefully will lay out the history and the problems that have been encountered in building this junction. We hope to have the completed report to the board for your September meeting, which will greatly expand on the document that we filed for your attention today.
And why did you begin that investigation at that time?
We were, an informant came to us and indicated he was concerned about the junction, and we immediately looked into it. We found out that Metro, Expo, the PUC were all aware of this problem and were making efforts to find a solution.
What I don't understand is the California Public Utilities Commission cited problems with a short length of a rail called the Frog at Washington Boulevard and Flowers Street. And the director of the commission's Consumer Protection Safety Division wrote that it's a non-standard frog with a non-standard fix and a repeatedly failing weld. Why did this construction continue with a system that has a safety implication that the California Public Utilities Commission was warning the district about, and yet we continue to move forward with that, even though you had somebody from the inside saying you had a problem, and you had the Public Utilities Commission telling you you have a problem? Hey, please, please, please.
Well, I think, first of all, the Inspector General's office is basically investigating and assembling the facts and the documents for this board. We're not engineers. Obviously, this solution requires engineering expertise, and I think perhaps Mr. Thorpe can advise you on the multiple efforts that have been made to fix this problem. What we can do is supply to you the various opinions we've received about the problem, the documentation on the design and changes that were made, and what the problems have been that have been encountered.
Now, when did you notify the board about these serious allegations that were being raised, and we had a potential safety factor that would impact the district, more importantly, those who ride the rail?
Well, I think your question assumes what we were told. We were not told there was a serious safety problem. We were told there is a problem that I would characterize more as a maintenance problem, something that needs to be addressed and fixed so that it does not become a problem.
But this was the only frog in the nation used this way. The other frogs have not had problems and did not have this type of a flawed design alleged by the individual from who made the complaint that there was a problem taking place. And I would assume the engineer or the construction company that was pursuing this, but why wasn't the full board notified that we had a potential problem so we could have had input at that time instead of reading about it in the newspaper? I mean, your responsibility should be to the board here. And you should tell every member of this board, not just one, if you told one, and I don't know if you did that, so we would have full information and disclosure. Why do we have to read about this in the newspaper when we pay you to do these types of investigations? Just wave your hands, please.
Mr. Chair, I mean, in all fairness, the Inspector General is not here, and it may be that these two gentlemen don't. They may not know the answer to the question. I do want to say...
Well, perhaps you can give us a report on that as well. I mean, I don't want to shoot the messenger, but these are questions that are very serious, because when we are the only transit agency in the United States using a so-called flawed frog,
okay,
then there's a problem. And when the other transit agencies are able to do these types of construction without this type of a problem with their frog, then we ought to be told that this is something unique being recommended by Parsons or whomever's doing it or by the staff or whomever's recommending it, so that we up front know there's a problem instead of now having to spend time and money on a safety problem that impacts, according to the Public Utilities Commission, who has oversight on these issues. Mr.
Chair, the PUC approved revenue operations, that is passenger operations, over this frog. I do want to just... bring back, this was designed, I believe, in 2008, Rick. So it goes back some time ago. I've said this to the board in the past, and I would just like to remind, when I arrived here in 2009, I was told that the Expo Line was not an MTA project, nor was the Gold Line. At that time, I said, I disagree with that. We are the owner. We are the banker. We are going to be living with it and operating on it for the next 100 years. So on phase two of both projects, there's a much more close involvement of MTA, of design and things like that. Now, we had some involvement on phase one, but the phase one work was not done with nearly the level of oversight such as being done now. That's just by way of historical fact. At this point, and by the way, I do want to point out there was a problem with the frog on the gold, on the blue line when we first opened to Long Beach. We had some problems for a few months, and we got them corrected. So it is not unheard of to have a problem with a new rail line. The PUC, again, did approve operation on this line when they sent us a letter. Rick and Frank went up and met with the PUC in the following week, and we've agreed to a plan to bring in an outside expert to look at the design and the geometry and to come up with an optimal response, which may be changing it or it might be not changing it. We'll know that after all the facts are laid out. Frank and Rick, have I misspoken?
No.
No, the only thing that I'd add is this project goes way back. You know, I said there's constraints because of the grand station there. So this design was goes way back to even before the Expo Line.
Back in the 80s.
Is the frog on the blue line a different type of frog than we have on the Expo Line?
The frog that we're using is what we call a 190. It's typically used in a lot of the maintenance facilities, the Pasadena, the Green.
Is that on the maintenance facilities don't carry passengers?
Well, and they operate at a much slower speed. So
right. So, but the question is, we're told that the frog is also on the blue line. Is it the same frog on the blue line, or is the Expo line a different type of a frog? Because the CUP says it's a non-standard frog with a non-standard fix and repeatedly failing weld.
The 190 turnout is a non-standard turnout, but it has been used.
But does the blue line have the same one?
I don't know.
Okay, and then answer, yeah.
Could you answer? Finish your answer, because I was interested actually in
that the 190 turnout is a standard metro turnout. We're using it in a mainline service. So this design, given the limitations because of the Grand Junction, it was agreed that we would use this turnout.
But the CUP, did they sign off on it when you did that?
The PUC typically doesn't sign off on it. It's usually the designer of record, reviewed by Expo, and reviewed by Metro.
But they may not sign off, but yet they can tell you you have to change it?
That's correct.
Wouldn't it be wise to check with them before you did it instead of being penalized after you had done it?
They were involved throughout the process.
So they gave you approval on it? You have a written statement that they approved it. They signed off on it.
They don't give written approvals. They just review and determine whether
tell me, a government agency that has oversight on safety is not going to give you a written statement that you're doing a safe frog when they tell you afterwards that it was non-standard and you have a safety problem?
That's how they operate.
I don't buy that. I really don't. Director Fasana.
Yes, thank you. The question I have, certainly not recalling, maybe I did approve this as well, but it seems what I'm hearing now is that even if this works, it might be a 5-mile-an-hour permanent solution through that area, which would seem to have longer-term performance issues, which would question that even if you can make it safe, what the longer-term issues are of having that kind of constrained speed through that junction
right.
or frog or whatever. So my sense is really trying to get down to is how was that decision made? What was the board's involvement? This board, Expo board, whatever. Certainly Metro, in terms of the context of operating Expo and the Blue Line, should have had some awareness of what the consequences would be by having such slow speeds going through there. If the IG needs a little bit more time to report back on that, if that would help refresh my memory and what we approved, I'd like to see it.
Supervisor Thomas.
Mr. Chair, I think all of this is very, very critical for us to have a greater appreciation for. I don't know anything more important than the matter of safety. And to the extent that that is the case, I trust that the motion that is to be introduced regarding the blue line that was flagged at a previous meeting by Supervisor or Director Yaroslavsky will expand itself in such a way that it will set an appropriate footprint for sustained, consistent, transparent reporting and disclosure of these sorts of issues so that the board in its entirety can be made aware of them. I think what is being talked about vis-a-vis Expo Line is potentially a systemic, that is a system-wide issue from which we can learn and benefit. The specifics of Expo are what they are, and the Inspector General is obliged to get to the bottom of it. The question that I wish to have answered, Mr. Chairman, is when will that investigation be concluded?
Mr. Chair?
Director Du Bois.
I understand the need to determine why something which may be faulty was put into place. However, I think the greater issue is it's fine to fix the blame, but first let's fix the problem.
Right.
If there's a problem here, fix it up, and then you can spend all the time you want figuring out why it went that way, but let's not have an unsafe line. So if that frog is not correct, pull it out and get something in there that was, and then go down and figure out where it fell apart.
Well, to that point, since the operations of it is owned by Metro rather than Expo at this point, is that not correct, Mr. Leahy?
Well, actually, I think Expo still owns it for the current time being, but certainly we...
The repairs and all?
We are the source of revenue. Now, if there is a cost, which I don't know...
I recall your assertion that it was unacceptable to you to be held responsible for any of the lines. At that point in time, it was Expo's phase one that was of concern to you, and not have more oversight responsibility. You just said that. I recall you saying that when you first arrived. It seems to me that there's a need for a proactive push, even though it's retrospective, on Expo phase one. My sense is that that has been happening, but I also want to say the sentiment of the board, as I interpret it now, is that we need to accelerate that. And let me just simply say why. Whatever happens with Expo Phase 1 will have direct implications for Expo Phase 2. If there's a safety issue, it will be perceived accordingly. It is Expo. Phase 1 or Phase 2 becomes relatively irrelevant. And so I think it's useful for us to get, as immediate feedback, I share the concern that Director Du Bois has raised. If there's a fix to be had, it ought to be in short order. You also mentioned at the Expo board meeting that there was a meeting coming up with CPUC, and maybe it should be made known again to this board when that meeting is.
Yes, sir. And by the way, this
what
has,
is it?
I don't know. We'll notify.
It's this Thursday, 10 o'clock at CPUC's
San Francisco?
Los Angeles offices.
So let's advise the board of the location.
Well, the point is to make sure that the board has a full report as to the results.
Yes, sir.
Coming from that meeting. I think that's really critical.
Absolutely will be done. I mean, in the end, there's going to be either a consensus or not between ourselves and the PUC, and at some point we'll have to decide what we're going to do about it. And because the PUC can shut down the line, obviously if we don't come to agreement, they have the ability to provide direction to us that we're compelled to follow.
The MTA is liable for accidents that occur on the Blue Line, Expo Line, Gold Line?
Sure, of course.
Okay, so we are liable. Then it was Expo's board making decisions without the MTA board having final authority or recommendations from our staff as how we should pursue?
That was the approach of MTA staff at the time. But
this is exactly the way the Gold Line operates, Mr. Antonovich.
It is identical to the Gold Line.
It should be identical.
And
you're asking it about Expo.
Blue Line and I said Expo. I said all three lines.
The Gold Line and the Expo Line are the only two that have gold, construction authorities associated with them. And this is the
Bible for all three.
Once the MTA accepts it, yes.
The contractor, according to the complaint, did not follow standard rail industry practice with the design of the Washington and Flower special track work. The derailment would occur at the tip of the crossing diamond where the weld has been applied if the entire crossing diamond is not replaced. And there is a design flaw with the special track work. There is a problem with the substandard construction approach. Now, this information was discussed by the Expo board and said that it was not a problem?
that information, I don't know where it's coming from, but our track work engineers and the engineer of record all believe it was designed properly.
This comes from Susan McAdams, who made the complaint with OSHA relative to the construction. The exact engineering problem is the radius of the special track with crossing diamond. It is sharper than the radius of the turnout, causing the vehicle wheels to climb up at the frog point of the crossing diamond. In order to prevent a derailment, the entire crossing diamond needs to be replaced. And they're saying that this is the only this is a substandard. It should have been a solid rail-bound manganese diamond as per the Metro criteria. That was our criteria, but we deviated from our criteria.
I think this is the,
don't believe
the,
so.
This is the topic, the correct. Subject of the IG investigation. Is that correct?
Yeah. We've interviewed numerous people, including the lady that you mentioned, and I think you need to appreciate there are diverse opinions.
Oh, wait,
on this
when
issue.
You, but you, when you report back, you will address these issues.
Yes,
you address all those for the. Thank you. And is that in public or executive session?
Well, I think that's going to be up for the board to determine.
I think it ought to be made in public.
Okay.
I think it ought to be all public, and let them do their investigation, which you called for, and let's quit doing the Joe McCarthy imitations here, and let them do their work, let them get to the bottom of it, let Thorpe and Leahy and the CPUC develop a consensus on a fix, which they're well on their way to doing, and we've now spent a half an hour on this subject, and that's more than we have spent in the last umpteen years on the fatality rate on the blue line. And I'm puzzled by what's behind this. Everybody knows we have an issue here. MTA knew about it. CPUC, they may not have signed off about it, but they on it, but they knew what the frog solution was. There are emails up the gazoo to verify that between your agency and the PUC, and I believe between your agency and Metro. There's really no point in pointing any fingers at who's to blame. Everybody is to blame because everybody was aware of it, and everybody thought it was a good design. The design, the frog failed, or a weld on the frog failed, a diamond-size chip, not repeatedly, twice, has failed over, an 18-month period. How many thousands of runs have you made on that track since
100,000.
Yeah.
100,000?
Oh, more than that. Close to 200,000 now.
1,000 trains have run through that junction. And we've had two failures. That's bad enough, and we've got to get to a permanent fix so that we don't have to do what you're doing now, which is have our Metro, I forgot who's doing it, is going out every day to check the weld on a daily basis, and then there's what every month there's a an ultrasound on the weld, correct? So there's a lot going on this, and but this harangue as though there's some scandal here is really unnecessary and disturbing because they've been actually quite transparent about this with this agency, with our board, and with the PUC, and the way it's going to get solved is working on it together to get a permanent solution and a permanent fix, and that's where we're going to go, and hopefully you get that sooner rather than later.
Director Fasana, and then Supervisor Ridley Thomas.
Just, you know, I may be entirely incorrect here, but part of my concern is that there weren't issues in terms of proper radiuses for turns and things of that type that have also been a factor. In terms of this design, on a going forward basis, the decisions made with the connector as it meets other lines don't follow maybe certain practices that may have contributed to what we have here. So I think it does have a lot of implications potentially going forward. We will find out as the investigation proceeds, but I think it is important that we learn and that we determine whether we have design parameters. What are those? Do we have procedures that we follow in terms of what the proper turn radii should be on our lines, and whether we follow those standards?
Mr. Chair. Ridley Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One man's haranguing is another man's due diligence. And it seems to me I just don't know why it's inappropriate to have a high level of confidence and comfort with the decisions that are being made. And I would choose to challenge the point that there's been full disclosure and complete transparency. Perhaps some members of the board have had more access than others. It seems to me that what ought to happen is that everybody ought to benefit fully from the CEO from Metro and the CEO from Expo. No need to point fingers, but accountability is what it is. And that's essentially why I said earlier I associate myself supportively with the motion that will come on an item in a few moments, because that blue line set of issues is important. I think the best way to interpret this is to make sure that Expo doesn't repeat the problems of the blue line. All of us know that that is important, and to the extent that we believe that, then we would assert without fear of contradiction, safety first.
And let me, you also have submitted in your investigation report to us who gave oral and written authority authorization from the CUP, the Public Utilities Commission, for this change. Am I correct? That will be provided.
For what change?
For devising a system that was considered unsafe by the PUC that made that allegation that I quoted from earlier.
You mean the so-called whistleblower?
No, for Mr. Hagan, who is the PUC person.
You understand the question?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay. Let me get the. The Los Angeles Times quoted Mr. Hagan, Emery Hagan, from the Public Utilities Commission, that this was a serious flaw. It's, and I'll state, the current frog is unacceptable. Emery J. Hagan, director of the Commission Consumer Protection and Safety Division, wrote in the order to local transit agencies, it is a non-standard frog with a non-standard fix and a repeatedly failing wheel. We were been told.
What's the question, Mike?
I want verification that PUC gave the Expo authority to proceed with the frog, that it was not a problem, and that there was a person who gave that authority either orally, who it was, or if it was written, so that we have that information as well.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Ridley Thomas.
I think item number five is before us, pursuant to your consolidation of those items, and Supervisor Yaroslavsky has a motion, and I'm prepared to offer an amendment.
Okay, I'll move item five.
Second.
And Ms. Ridley-Thomas's amendment, I will accept as a friendly amendment once he makes it.
We have public comment on that item. So Dr. Williams, John Walsh, Damian Goodman.
Dr. Tom Williams, good afternoon. LA 32 Neighborhood Council, and I've done a little bit of track work. I always dislike the use of frog. They're very nice animals. However, this animal is perhaps symptomatic. It's called errors and omissions, usually, when a designer provides a design which fails. Then who approved the design? All of these things need to be answered. The Inspector General should provide a report as to how it needs to be fixed, what costs, and who's going to pay for it, and is errors and omissions insurance available? I don't know. We don't know. But it throws a suspicion over the entire rail system, which should not be supported. So get it done right this time, but also on the other rail, including Red Line. We did that one. Thank you.
Walsh, and then,
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org, 1 million hits a year. What you're asking for, Mayor Antonovich, is the letter of no objection. They do not approve of anything. They issue a letter of no objection from the PUC. What you want to say is, where is your letter of no objection concerning the frog? And they don't have that. Okay? And I want to say that if this had happened where I come from, what my skin color, west of La Brea, in that brave new world, this wouldn't have been tolerated. It's tolerated here because of racism, transit racism. And I say it as a white man. And that's why people call me, you know, the N-word lover. I hear that a lot. I just want to point out that you're doing a great job, Mr. Antonovich, and where is the mayor? HollywoodHighlands.org.
This is to item five. Another report. 21 years of operation and, 22 years of operation, the Blue Line, and a report. You have a report in 1998 done by Booz Allen Hamilton that told you what the problems were on the Blue Line and why they're happening. They're behavioral. And you repeat the same mistakes on the Expo Line. You're repeating those mistakes on the Crenshaw Line. Let's not pretend, after sitting on this board for decades, that you suddenly became concerned about the residents and the people who have been killed along the communities of the Blue Line, which include Compton, Willowbrook, and Watts. Let's not pretend. This is the same routine. It's like Lucy in the football. Every time someone gets injured, every time there's an LA Times report, you pass a motion, you do a report, and then nothing happens. There are crossings today that look like they were in 1990 when they were built. Meanwhile, in the Gold Line communities, you see four quad dates. And the East Side, even the East Side Extension has better things than are seen in other parts of the system. You guys just don't care. And it's become disappointing. And if you're looking for something, then we would strongly recommend several people for your committee. And if there's nothing that comes of that, then again, it's just another report. There have been many reports on Blue Line safety that have been ignored.
Sylvia Sanchez, and my name is Luis Manuel Martinez, and I'm going to speak for Sylvia Sanchez.
You're going to speak for Sylvia?
Yes, that's the name that you call. Okay. No, I don't need. Okay. My name is Luis Martinez, and I represent the Social Justice Coalition from Compton, Willowbrook, and Watts. I lost my son on June 12, 2012. His name was Luis Manuel Martinez Jr. The Blue Line killed him, okay? And I found on the internet that more than 103 people already been killed by the Blue Line. The train operators nicknamed the Blue Line the Death Row. The Blue Line in downtown has traffic lights. In Long Beach, they have traffic lights. In Willowbrook, we don't have nothing like that. Blue Line runs over 55 miles in a residential area, okay? Members of the MTA board, please do something. The Blue Line is killing our kids. The Blue Line is a killer machine. Who's next to be killed? This is what I call negligence. It's incredible what's happening in our communities. Our cities have to be called Compton Hills or Willowbrook Hills in order to get help, isn't it? I have to contact. I tried to contact Mr. Thomas to discuss the Blue Line problems, but there was no answer from your office, sir. I was trying to contact Mr. Fernando Ramirez, he didn't answer my calls back. You remember? You don't remember my calls?
He told me to talk with you, and he'll come out and talk with you in a minute.
How many more deaths have to occur in order to somebody do something about it? We need traffic lights in the short term, please. And you guys need to elevate that train so everybody can be safe when they cross our streets in our community, in our communities. And another thing, who's the engineer that built the unsafe train?
Mr. Martinez, Mr. Ramirez will be talking with you momentarily. You called him on Thursday. He'll be speaking. But you did speak with Celica Quinones, did you not?
Yes, I did.
On my staff. All right.
Thank
you. I just want to make it clear that you did speak with someone, and we will follow up.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Luz María Cordero.
My name is Luz María Cordero.
Vengo de la comunidad de Boyle Heights.
I come from the Boyle Heights community.
Venimos a apoyar a nuestra comunidad del Sur Centro.
We come to support our South Central community.
Y estamos mirando que no se le está dando el respeto.
And we can see that they are not getting the respect that they deserve.
Sobre los accidentes que está viendo con el Metro Line.
Regarding the accidents that we are having with the Metro Line.
¿Qué les pasaría a ustedes que un hijo de ustedes tuviera un accidente? Pónganse en la posición de ellos. ¿Qué harían ustedes?
What would happen if you had a child that had an accident? Just put yourselves in our position.
Nosotros le estamos pagando su sueldo para que hagan ustedes su trabajo. ¿Qué es lo que están haciendo?
We are paying you a salary for you to do your job. What are you doing?
¿Por qué no va usted, señor Thomas, a su comunidad y preguntarles qué es lo que va a hacer usted por ellos? Porque a usted lo elijo Villarraigosa. Vaya con ellos.
Why don't you go to your community? Why don't you go to your community and ask your community what would you like them to do? What would you like them for you to do for them? You know, you were chosen. You were actually chosen by Mr. Villarraigosa. You should go to your community.
Vaya usted personalmente. Yo, Wizard y la señora esta, Gloria Molina, deberían de apoyarlos porque somos comunidad. Y usted tiene que ir personalmente a hablar con su comunidad.
You should go in person to speak with your community. Mr. Wizard and Ms. Molina should support you.
¿Qué tipo de corazón tienen ustedes que está viendo accidentes y no están haciendo nada por nuestra comunidad?
What kind of heart do you have when you see that there are accidents and you are not doing anything for our community?
Y recuerde que nosotros les pagamos, son nuestros taxis lo que ustedes tienen su sueldo.
Yeah, you should remember that you get paid with our tax money. Your salary comes from our tax money.
Y son nuestros empleados, que lo recuerden bien.
And you should remember, you should remember that you work for us.
I appreciate the testimony. Just one simple correction. I was not chosen by Mr. Villarraigosa. Thank you. I was elected by the people.
It's conception.
We can't hear you.
Sorry. Araceli Vega. Now we have it.
Hola, buenas tardes. En esta hora estoy aquí también para apoyar a nuestros compañeros que
I
vienen
am here
de,
also to support my friends.
Que representan a Watts, Compton, and Willowbrook.
They are representing Watts, Compton, and Willowbrook.
Yo tengo una pregunta para todos ustedes. ¿Cuántas vidas más se tienen que perder para que hagan algo al respecto?
I have a question for all of you. How many more lives do we need to lose in order for you to do something about this?
Pienso de que cuando se piensa en un proyecto como crear medio de transportación público, lo primero que tenemos que tomar en cuenta como comunidad, como personas que queremos una mejoría para esta comunidad y para los ciudadanos de esta ciudad es...
I think whenever you decide that you are going to put together a project, whenever you are going to build something as a community...
Para la comunidad es importante primeramente pensar en la seguridad de todos los ciudadanos y las personas que usan ese medio.
For the community, it is very important for you to think first about safety and about all the people that use that kind of transport.
tengo entendido que hasta este punto son más de 100 vidas las que se han perdido y nadie ha hecho nada al respecto.
I understand that up to now we lost around 100 lives and nothing has been done about
More
this.
Than 100.
More than 100 lives and nothing has been done about this.
Es extremadamente importante y necesario que se tomen cartas en el asunto inmediatamente antes que más vidas se pierdan.
It is extremely important that you take care of this before we lose more lives.
Gracias.
Hi, my name is Nukeri Martinez, and I represent the city of Compton, Willowbrook, and Watts.
Your conference call will end in 10 minutes.
Go ahead. And I come from a coalition social justice. I am here to say why Mr. Ridley Thomas doesn't do anything about us, community. Why don't you come up to us and tell us for help? Mr. Seth, we sent you various emails. Why didn't you respond back? You put it in the mail with that you were going to write, but you never wrote back. It killed my brother. Who's next? It's been more than 100 deaths. I participate in many Compton educational and many activities. Why can you help us now? What do we have to do? Do we have to call Compton Hills in order to help us? What do we have to do next? Who's the next victim? Thank you.
Good.
My name is Randy Mays. I am the grandfather of Luis Martinez Jr., who lost his life on June 12th on your blue line, okay? It has to end. Something has to be done. There's 103 deaths that you guys know about. There were five. I moved to this area in October, and there was five that I knew about. That is too short of a time for so many deaths. Too many people. I walk with a cane. You know how many times I got caught in the rails with this cane and worrying that I was going to get hit by that train? That's not watching your community. Okay? It's senseless. I had to watch for somebody, another couple with a wheelchair, scared to death to go across that track and waiting for that train to come down. You have to build a bridge or something. Why is there a bridge on Rosecrans, but not on ours? Why? Why?
Hi, my name is Louis Hernandez, and I was one of Luis's closest friends. What I don't like is that why do we suffer like this? Just because we live in Compton, it isn't fair. People in Beverly Hills have it better than us. Long Beach has it better than us. We have no type of security. We have no type of... We don't have nothing. I see him as my big brother that I'll never get back. If you can see in my shirt, this was him. And this is my other friend. He almost lost his life too. And I'm just a teenager. I can't be going through this. And this is my new family, too. I don't want them seeing like this no more. So please do something. Thank you.
Alicia Laura, followed by Yolanda Lopez.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Alicia Lara y yo represento a la familia Martínez.
Good afternoon, my name is Alicia Lara and I represent the Martínez family.
Okay, yo vengo a pedirles de corazón que nos ayuden.
I come to ask you from the bottom of my heart to help us.
Atentarles el corazón porque están pasando muchos accidentes y no han hecho nada.
I want to touch your heart because so many accidents happened and you haven't done anything.
Señor Thomas, Please, por favor, ayúdenos.
Mr. Thomas, please help us.
Yo le pido de corazón, si tiene corazón, que nos ayude.
I ask you from the bottom of my heart, if you have a heart, to help us.
Yo soy madre y abuela, y pasan todos los niños por ahí a las escuelas.
I am a mother and a grandmother, and all the children have to take that route in order to go to school.
En un mes pasó el accidente de Luis Martínez.
In one month we had Luis Martínez accident.
El segundo mes fue el de Ángel, que yo lo traigo aquí.
Yeah, the second month was Angel, and his picture is here.
Lo invito que vaya al hospital para que vea a Ángel cómo está.
I invite you to come to go to the hospital to see how Angel is doing.
Póngase en el zapato de nosotros.
Just wear our shoes.
Si de veras tienen corazón, ayúdenos, por favor.
If you have a heart, please help us.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yolanda Lopez. Followed by Felipe.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Yolanda López.
My name is Yolanda López.
Estoy aquí como líder comunitario de la ciudad de Campton.
I am here as a community leader from the city of Campton.
Willowbrook. Y muchos de ustedes saben que tenemos muchos problemas en estas dos ciudades.
Many of you know that we have quite a bit of problems in these two cities.
Aunado a todo esto de los accidentes del metro,
all together with the accidents that we have at Metro,
que nadie nos hace caso,
and nobody's paying attention to us.
Muchos de ustedes saben que la ciudad se está declarando en bancarrota.
Many of you know that the city is going bankrupt.
Y aunado a esto, aún más,
and adding to this,
tenemos una educación, no tenemos una educación de calidad.
And adding to all this, we don't have a quality education.
Los fondos que manda el gobierno estatal y federal no se están usando en la educación de los niños.
The funds provided by the state and federal government are not being used for the children.
Vean estos jóvenes.
Look at these young people.
Ellos no tienen dónde ir en las vacaciones.
When vacations come, they don't have a place to
porque
go.
Porque el dinero que se está enviando para ellos no se está utilizando como debe de ser.
Because the money that is being sent for them is not used in the right way.
Y qué tristeza, porque el señor Rini, el señor Thomas lo sabe.
And this is very sad because Mr. Thomas knows this.
Y nunca él nos ha dado una respuesta a nosotros.
He never gave us an answer.
Qué tristeza que estemos sentados ahí solamente por política, ambición y dinero.
It is so sad that we are just sitting there because of politics, ambition and money.
Recuerden que esta la juventud es nuestro presente y nuestro futuro.
Recording that these teenagers are our present and our future.
Pero qué lástima que muchos de ustedes lo sepan y no estén haciendo nada.
But it is a pity that
no porque
many,
seamos Campton, también many, tenemos derechos.
Many of you know about this and are not doing anything. It's not just because we are Campton, because we also have rights.
We pay taxes too.
Thank you. Felipe Velasco.
Sí. Buenos días, mi nombre es Felipe Velázquez. Uy, ya es tardes. Aquí es nuestra tarde.
Good afternoon. My name is Felipe Velázquez.
Pues aquí estoy representando a la Coalición Justicia Social y también a Alianza Cívica.
I am representing here the Coalition and also a Civic Alliance.
Norteamericana.
From North America.
Me siento muy contento al estar en este lugar.
I'm very pleased to be here.
Conocerlos a ustedes.
To be able to meet you.
Y también me trae el propósito de ayudar a esta familia.
And I am also here in order to help this family.
¿Y yo qué puedo decirles a ustedes?
What can I tell you?
Ustedes tienen todo el poder.
You have the power.
Para poder hacer algo por nosotros.
You have the power to do something for us.
Yo quisiera que lo consideraran.
I would like you to take this in consideration.
Y no estamos juzgando ni criticando a nadie.
We are not judging or criticizing anybody.
Solamente pedimos su apoyo.
We are just coming here to ask for your support.
Que Dios los bendiga.
God bless you.
Thank you. Okay, that includes item 5. Supervisor Ridley Thomas has a motion.
This is a motion that essentially supports the main motion by Supervisor Yaroslavsky, Director Yaroslavsky. The timely reporting of accidents and breakdowns is vital to rail commuters. Prompt and thorough accident and incident reports also form a cumulative reference for the public, providing a clear picture over time of the frequency and scope of accidents and service disruptions. Metro's capability for rapidly reporting such information is now enhanced by such tools as the source blog and Twitter feeds. And as a result, I therefore move that the board direct the CEO to establish public information protocols to report accident and service disruption information when incidents occur. Detailed factual information shall be posted via an appropriate websites and social media as available, and news media shall be notified. The CEO shall report back to the board in the September 2012 meeting. In addition, there is a directive that has been accepted by the main maker of the motion. I just simply say that the testimony today no more than corroborates the compelling nature of the motion, and Supervisor Yaroslavsky is to be acknowledged for initiating, and I would trust that the CEO was prepared to give us some response on the testimony that we've heard today in at least summary fashion.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, if I just say a couple words on the main motion. The fatality rate in the first 6 months of this calendar year, since between January and June of 2012, if we continue at this pace for the remainder of this year, it will be the highest number of fatalities of any year since the Blue Line began. And that's on top of a relatively robust, and I use that word loosely, fatality statistic for 2011's calendar year. There had been a general decline over the years, and now there's been a spike back up. Something's going on, and we need to focus our attention on this line and let the chips fall where they may. There's absolutely a compelling reason for us, a compelling need for us to engage in this in the same way we've engaged on other on other issues. So this is something I hope you will take seriously, Mr. Leahy. It should not be just another report, but what does it take, if there's anything that can be done, what does it take to mitigate these incidents of suicides and non-suicide-related fatalities on the line? Those are two different things, but they all end up in the same column called fatalities.
Will do.
I move it as amended.
Let me just say a couple things. The Blue Line has been neglected for years. Its equipment has been neglected. The riders have been neglected. We have increased, over the past couple of years, we have increased the security. But I see the death and the accidents as I guess a flag that we've not been paying attention to this line for a long time. I would suggest as well that things that are indicated in the motion, including Supervisor Ridley Thomas's motion, communication should not just be isolated to the Blue Line. If there is an accident or if there are traffic issues on any of the lines, that certainly needs to be communicated to the public. I think if you just focus on the Blue Line, you're missing the point there. But breakdowns, accidents, and I don't understand what's happening with the deaths there. I don't know. I would like more information on it because we're looking at numbers. We're looking at numbers, but I don't know if somebody is playing on the tracks. I hope not. They used to do that in the rural areas with railroads. Or if we're not adequately protecting them, I think we need to have the information. So, thank you,
Mr. Chairman. I would consider, I'm sure Mr. Thomas would as well, broaden the notification, not just to the blue line, but the all system-wide.
Without objection, so ordered. Item number four, Clint Simmons, Dr. Williams, Damon Goodman, and John Walsh.
Thank you. My name is Clint Simmons. I'm with the Crenshaw Subway Coalition as well as the West Adam Neighborhood Council. As I sit here this morning and hear the blame being passed about between MTA and Expo Line, there are four members that's on this board also sit on the Expo board, and I don't know why there seems to be a misunderstanding as to what's take place. In terms of the frog at Flower and Washington, it is a hazard. There is no problem. It is a safety problem, and this is not the first time it came up. All you have to do is go to the Expo board minutes of 2008, February 2008, and look at item 5C, where the CEO, Rick Thorpe, directed the board to use inferior type of material on the line in order for cost containments. Now, these are things that are here, and I'm really glad to see this take place today so that we can get to the point. Another area, I agree with Ms. DuBose, replace that part of the track. There is another frog problem that is going to be worse than the one that we have at Flower, and that's on the Expo line in Cover City, where Hayton goes into, where Hayton deads into the line. There is a frog problem there, and when I brought it out in last week's meeting at the Expo board meeting, I'd say we have a frog problem there just like the one we have downtown. The CEO, Rick Thorpe, said, well, no, that's just a spring need to be adjusted. But that's what frogs are. Frogs are made from springs. When the wheel goes through, then the spring closes, and when the thing is defected, it goes clickety-clackety-clackety. There are four frogs for every diamond that is there. And two of the frogs was defected when the line opened between La Cienega and Cover City. Now there's three. When I pass that area, I make sure that I wait until a train pass, or either I try to speed up because there's a possibility that the train may jump the tracks right there in Cover City, and this only been open a few at the time. There's a frog there. And this is what I couldn't understand, why I thought was saying that it's not a frog, it's just adjusting the spring. That's what frogs are. It's made of springs. So when the as you cross the diamond, they're there for when you're changing tracks. There's one train, as you was going in one direction, say west, and you want to go east with this, so you cross over. That is where your frogs come in and being there. For to allow this thing to go on to where it is, and the PUC have to take part of the blame, because just come to some of the Expo board meetings and see how easy it is for the CEO to dictate to the board and cover up stuff. We've been covering up too many things on this Expo line and the goal line. We've been covering and covering and covering. During the time it was constructed, there was lobbies used in San Francisco. Sandra McGrubin, who was the lobbyist for Enron, that went up and had Expo, had PUC to change some of their decision. I'm sorry, thank you for giving me a chance to talk, but I think you should know. I just had to do that.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. And to the relatives and survivors, I was saying this in 1990. In 1990, I predicted this in front of a different board, and nothing was done in the past 22 years. 22 years. You share, the Expo line shares trackage with the blue line. There are two main reasons why you have 103, the bloodiest rail line in America. One is it goes too fast. You have to lower it to 35 miles. From 55 to 35, the fatalities will go down. And second, $1 billion with a B, $1 billion in deferred rail maintenance and climbing. Well, if you don't carry a damn rail, what's going to happen? Black and Hispanic people will be killed, and you don't give a damn.
Yes. Yeah.
Board members, I know and you know that what has been published in the media so far regarding the Washington and Flower Junction barely scratches the surface. Junction Gate is what it should be called. I've reviewed some of the information which has not become public with a former assistant attorney general, and let me quote them. Well, somebody's definitely going to jail, and looks like they're going to get fired, too. If this board wants to take a proactive approach on this, make the Expo board fire Rick Thorpe. This man has botched every element of this project, ignoring arrogantly every single concern. Do you really think the concerns of internal Metro employees, the PUC, were taken seriously by this man? No. He's one of the most well-paid executives in the state of California, as far as public agencies concerned, and he let this line open at the most important at-grade crossing on the system with a defective Mickey Mouse solution. Unacceptable. Action by this board is needed.
Is this for four or for?
I've already talked about frogs. I love them.
Okay.
Did you want to speak on five? Did you want to speak on five? Well, then.
Okay, that's what you're up here for.
Number five, Blue Line, accidents. How long have we been running rails on streets? A long time. It's always the crossings and or the right-of-way access. I've been on the Blue Line several times. It's a good service. However, when you go across the crossings, you got real problems. In fact, you should have somebody with an ADA background inspect all of the crossings for pedestrian rights of way and access across. It should be done. What was the engineering design requirements for the original designs? What designs have been changed? There should be a full documentation as to Blue Line crossings and lessons learned on each and every death. What was the cause of it? We haven't seen any sort of real report on what were the causes and what were the physical changes that could be made in order to make this system safe, even at 55. Thank you.
Pam O'Connor, are you still on the air? Pam?
We like her.
Okay, motion without objection. So ordered. And item number six, Catherine Noreen.
Good afternoon. My name is Catherine Norian, attorney for Thomas Properties Group, Inc. Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. Manager for 515555 Flower Associates. At the July 26 board meeting, Metro reaffirmed its commitment to spend millions of dollars to plan and design the regional connector using cut-and-cover construction between 4th and 6th Streets in the financial district. Thomas Properties Group and the Bonaventure Hotel have objected to this construction method for years and are now challenging it in their CEQA and NEPA lawsuits because it creates impacts that can feasibly be avoided and have been avoided in every other area impacted by the regional connector except the financial district. At the July 26 board meeting, Thomas Properties Group and the Bonaventure Hotel asked to meet with Metro staff in a last-ditch effort to avoid these horrific and unnecessary impacts, hoping to reach a consensus on a tunneling method in the financial district. That meeting was held last Thursday, August 2nd, during which Thomas Properties Group and the Bonaventure Hotel placed a number of the experts' tunneling ideas and alternative construction methods on the table for Metro staff's evaluation. These ideas and alternative methods require further study by Metro's engineers, but we believe that their further study will prove that these alternatives are very feasible between 4th and 6th Streets on Flower. We thank Chairman Antonovich's office, Metro staff, and the mayor's office for their respective efforts in scheduling and attending this meeting. If, as a result of further study, Metro agrees to use one or more of these alternative construction methods on Flower Street, rather than the base case in the EIS-EIR, and avoid the negative consequences to our client's properties, and if the board approves the use of that method or methods, then our client is prepared to settle its lawsuits against the regional connector. If, on the other hand, no such agreement is reached, we are confident that the courts will find that the EIS-EIR is fatally defective and must be revised and recirculated, and the approvals for the regional connector must be set aside and all work stopped until such time as the EIS-EIR that is, as an EIS-EIR that is fully compliant with CEQA and NEPA has been approved. When the court issues that decision, the time and millions of dollars that Metro will have spent on planning and designing the regional connector with cut-and-cover construction in the financial district will have been wasted. That is a result that would benefit no one and is certainly worth further study to avoid. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom Walsh, 1 minute.
Don Walsh blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Fully supporting Thomas Properties and fully supporting the Weston Bonaventure. You know, these people are so evil, and old communists like me allying myself with capitalists. This is what happened when the Nazis invaded France. And the communists and the capitalists worked together against the invaders. I'm telling you right now, they're doing the same thing that they did to your neighborhoods, south, the south neighborhoods. They're doing it to the rich people. They're doing it. They want to cut and cover and dig the whole street up because it's more expensive and gives more jobs and more contracts rather than tunneling underground. That's what they're trying to do. And fortunately, Bonaventure and these people have some money and they can fight. I can't. And the way Zeb was so snotty, he was as snotty to the Bonaventure as he was to me. These are the people who own the city. Show some respect for them.